And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. So, I didn't believe that note, and here you are.
You see, if there's a will, there's a way. If you're determined,
that's the way. Iowa. So, Parshat HaShavua, Rabbi.
Yes, this week's Torah portion is Parshat Balak.
Balak.
And it's a fascinating Torah portion. As we see that it talks about Balak was the king of Moab, and he summons the prophet Bilam to curse the people of Israel. And everyone knows the story, obviously, and on the way Bilam is greeted by his donkey, who sees before him — Bilam doesn't see that — the angel that was sent by God to block his way three times. And after a while he just beat his donkey. And we see that obviously he tried to go and curse the Jews, but something different happened. So,
Mibracha yata klala.
Exactly. So we see from this that the prophet was going to do something that was not supposed to be done. And in the end, in lieu of curses, the prophet gushes from forth the most splendid words and poetry ever written about the uniqueness of the Jewish people. And this poetry, obviously, became one of the prayers that we say every morning, and which Bilam declared, Matovo halecha Yaakov mishkanotecha Yisrael. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. That doesn't sound like a curse to me. Now this verse, we became to love it, and we say it, as I said, like 365 days a year. And I want to sort of just talk about a little bit an inspiring interpretation on this verse. You know, it says, how goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. Bilam says, there are tents and there are dwellings. The tents belong to Jacob and the dwellings to Israel. But if you think about it, it really, really seems like it's a redundant statement. What is the difference between the tent and the dwelling? What's the difference between a tent and a dwelling? And why is one associated with Jacob and the other associated with Israel? It should be either all associated with Israel. That's who he was going to give the blessing to.
Yeah.
Now, in the physical sense, the difference between a tent and a dwelling is very simple. A tent, you know, is a temporary structure. It's initially designed to be taken apart with the same readiness and swiftness as it's put together. So it doesn't show something that is permanent. On a symbolic level, tents and dwellings represent two diverse spiritual pathways. There are human beings who carve out in their hearts a permanent dwelling space for God. Their love for God never ends. His presence in their life is consistent and undeviating. And their homes and their spirits serve as an abode for God. Then you have individuals who are not so spiritually sensitive. These human beings are too overwhelmed, you know, let's say, with the stress of daily life to be able to continuously be bothered, worry about godliness in their life. And the confusion of the heart, you know, the pressures in the office, the burdens of holding a family together, you know, so many different things, financial, so on and so forth. And to this, the materialistic demands of a human body sort of overweigh and cover over God's reality in a person's life. Now, notwithstanding this, even these individuals who have a little bit maybe of a hard time, once in a while, perhaps, maybe early in the morning, or late at night, or maybe in the middle of a very busy day, they have a yearning to be able to spend a few moments, a few seconds with God. And even though this can happen maybe once in a while, maybe even for a second, But this gives them an opportunity, opens their heart to God. When that happens, they then construct a tent, a temporary space which they invite God in just for a brief while, just for a little bit, for those few seconds. You know, maybe, for example, you know, maybe a few moments before sunset, a Jew is immersed in so much work. Suddenly he remembers, oh, I didn't pray the afternoon service. So he runs from his work to synagogue, to another room that he can have a few minutes of time. And he prays, and 8 minutes is done. What he is essentially saying is, God, I do not have much time. I have a lot on my head. So let's just spend 8 minutes together. Let us cover some basic things, and then I can go out to the whole world. So now, this Jew by no means creates a fixed and permanent dwelling for God. At best, what he does is he erects a tent where he and God can spend a few minutes together. These two different types of individuals in our lives and in our nation. Now, these two types of individuals really are defined by the names of what we just read in that beautiful poetic line, Jacob and Israel. Because in Hebrew, Jacob, Yaakov, means a heel, the bottom of a person's foot.
Yeah, because he held his heel.
Right,
okay. Yeah.
Israel, Yisrael, consists of the letters which make up the word my head. Li, Rosh, Yisrael, if you take those words in there, it comes out, makes up of the words of my head.
Yeah.
The heel and the head represent, of course, two extremes. Jacob was given his name when he emerged from his mother's womb, and he just said, as holding onto his brother's Esav's heel, attempting to take the place of his firstborn. He only received the name Yisrael, Israel, after he fought his rival and he prevailed. So Jacob, in other words, symbolizes the person that's struggling in battle, who sometimes finds himself in lowly places as the heel is the lowest part of the person's body. Israel is the one who emerges triumphant, the person who is in touch with his or her head and higher conscience. So Jacob erects temporary tents for God, and Israel erects permanent dwellings. So a person might say, let me think for this for a second. A person might think that this is the dwellings of Israel, which are embraced by God, and Jacob's tents are best tolerable but not desirable. Maybe they're not the greatest. Maybe it's no point in doing it. So here comes Bilaam's decree and his blessing. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. Not only are Jacob's tents goodly and beautiful, but they are in a way given preference over Israel's dwellings. Why? Because what does it say first? It says, how goodly are your tents, O Jacob, and only afterward, O your dwellings, O Israel. So it is precisely, I think, the non-spiritual demeanor of the Jacob personality where the objective of creation is fulfilled. To introduce the light of God into the darkness of the earth, that is our job. We can only do it little by little. Israel's dwellings are islands, but it is in Jacob's tent where, you know, the physicality and the work of a human being are sanctified. So to wrap up and to understand everything that we're saying, when a human being bogged down, you know, by all the pressures and is frustrated of the things that are going on in life, he tears himself away for a few moments from the turmoil of his life, and he says, God, liberate me from my tension. This person fulfills the purpose for which this stressful world was originally created. That we bring down and we fuel the world with godliness, little by little. As, you know, one rabbi put it, God tells us, I ask of you to give me only a few moments every day, but those few moments should be exclusively mine. Mm-hmm. And that's something so important. You know, we say, and you know, it's so true even in our daily life. As an example, we play with our kids, we're there with our kids, but are we truly there? We're on our phone, we're texting, we're WhatsApping, we're Instagramming, we're Facebooking.
We're Pokemoning too.
We're Pokemoning, it's right. But we're not really with the kids. If you're already going to abuse your kids for 10 minutes, give them the 10 minutes of just their undivided attention. If we're going to be bringing God into our spiritual life, give him the 10 minutes, nothing else.
Exclusively.
That's all God is asking. And that's why it says first, O Jacob, how good are your dwellings? And then it says, O Israel, your permanent places. That is something so, but if we know in our lives, we don't have time. We don't have time to run around and serve God an hour, 2 hours a day. 10 minutes. But those 10 minutes should be exclusive just for God. And I think that is a very, very important Torah portion, a message that we can learn from this Torah portion.
It is. And Rabbi, services.
Services Friday evening are 7:15, and the Shabbat morning is 9:30, as well as Monday 8:15. Sunday 8:15, and Monday and Thursday at 7:15 in the Parasha.
And I understand that there are a lot of preparation before the new students come to the university, so your hands must be full.
We're full, you know. We purchased a house to be able to house the ever-growing student population as well as our family. So we'll be moving in before the new year. So that's going to be a very good change, because we're always stuck on place. Now we won't have that problem with place-wise. So thank God things are happening, and Baruch Hashem, we look forward to September, the beginning of September, all the students coming back.
That's good. That's a good beginning for the new year.
That's right.
Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You as well, and we'll speak next week.
God willing, I'm not sure.
All right. We'll see what the week brings.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, be well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.